This is Alan Bria. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our family altar. Let's sing hymn 155. 155. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak, on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of His care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air. And surely He remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep, but oh, the shepherd guards His lonely sheep. And through the gloom, He leads me home. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak, on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. We thank our Lord Jesus for our family altar this evening. We shall read together Psalms 15. Psalms 15, 1-5. In the name of Jesus, I read, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? 2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. 3. Who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friend. 4. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. 5. And does not put out his hand, his money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So the title of this psalm is simply written as a psalm of David. So in this psalm, we see that David meditating over the character of the man received into the presence of God. Actually, we have no precise occasion when was this psalm written, but it may have been on the bringing of the Ark of Covenant into the city of Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So this was a time when David was very much concerned with the questions asked and answered in this psalm. First of all, we see the question, who can come before God? Who can come to the tabernacle of God? So here the first question, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? So in one sense, we see that David's question here was a figurative question. Though he, like the sons of Korah, may have wished to live in the house of God, as recorded in Psalms 84, from verses 2 to 4, as well as in verse 10. Let's see Psalms 84, verses 2 to 4. Psalms 84, verses 2 to 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow finds a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Then we see verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So this was the heartfelt feeling of David. So this word here is described here as who shall sojourn in the tent. It describes a visit or those who receive the hospitality of those who lived in the tent. So this opening can be understood when we look into the hospitality customs in the Near East. Then abide in your tabernacle. So the tabernacle of God was the great tent of meeting that God told Moses and Israel to build for him during the period of the Exodus, where this is recorded in Exodus chapter 25 to chapter 31. And the tabernacle have survived through the centuries, through the period of time. And during the time of David, as recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 39 to 40. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 39 to 40. Verse 39. And he left Zadok the priest and his brothers before the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening to do all that is written in the law of the Lord that he commanded Israel. So since the tabernacle was the place where man met with God through the work of the priest and the practice of sacrifice, so David, actually at that time, he longed to abide in the tabernacle. So this was actually a desire of David to abide in the presence of God. Where David at that time He knows that those who live in the presence of God will be able to walk in close fellowship with God, because the heart, the mind, and the life are all in step with the heart, mind, and life of God. Then, next question, who can come to the hill of God's temple? Who may dwell in your holy hill? So here, in one sense, David is again using the Hebrew way of repetition to ask the same question as he asked in the first part of this verse, where now David asks, who may be received into the tent of God, enjoying all the protections of his hospitality, who may live as a citizen in his holy hill? In another sense, David was asking a second, or rather a more intense question, because we know, as we have read just now, that the tabernacle of God was at Gibeon. So depending upon when David would write this psalm, it was at that time probably that the Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 17, or even at Mount the holy hill of Moriah, where the Lord had told David to build the temple. Let's see 2 Samuel chapter 24 from verses 18 to 21. 2 Samuel chapter 24 verses 18 to 21. Verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. 19. So David went up at Gad's word as the Lord commanded. 20. And when Arauna looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arauna went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. 21. And Arauna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. Then we also see 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 from verses 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verses 28. Verse 28. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. 29. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering, were at that time in the high place at Gibeon. 30. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then we see chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1. Then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offering for Israel. 2. David commanded to gather together the resident aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters to prepare dressed stones for building the house of God. 3. David also provided great quantities of iron for nails for the doors of the gates, and for the clamps, as well as bronze in quantities beyond weighing, and cedar timbers without number, for the Sidonians and Tyrians brought great quantities of cedar to David. 5. For David said, Solomon my son is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent of fame and glory throughout all lands. I will therefore make preparation for it. So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. So here we can see, at that time, David's heart was, he wanted to build the temple for God. But as we know, because his hands had shed too much blood, therefore the Lord did not allow him to build this temple, but rather this work was later entrusted to his son Solomon. In the next part, from verses 2 to 3, we can see the character of those who come before God. So in verse 2 and 3, it tells us of the character among his friends, among his neighbors. So he is one who walked uprightly. So this is a person who can live in the presence of God. Where here David begins with two general descriptions, that is one who walks blamelessly and does what is right. So in one sense, we can see that in the Old Testament, we know very importantly is talking about the sacrifice as well as the atonement through blood. It is also based upon blessing and cursing upon obedience, where the disobedient would not be able to expect any blessing, including the blessing in the presence of God. Where in the New Testament, we see it gives us a different ground for blessing as well as a relationship with God. So we can see faith is very important rather than the performance in order to receive His blessing. So we can see that very importantly, just as what John, Elder John has mentioned in 1 John chapter 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Then he continues to say, he speaks the truth and does not backbite with his tongue. So here David understood very well that an upright and righteous life is known by the way one speaks. Just as what Jesus has said in Matthew 12 verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, so the mouth will speak. And he also does not do evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So David also knew that righteousness is also expressed in the way we treat one another. We might have thought that David would have given greater priority to religious obligations, just as sacrifice or even purification ceremony, which certainly have its place, but they are useless without the practical godliness of being good and honest and honorable to neighbors and friends. So in these words of David, we also see the deeper work of Jesus Christ, who commanded us not only to love our neighbor and friend, but also to love our enemies and those who spitefully use us, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And then from verses 4 and 5, here it mentions the character among those who were difficult. Where in their eyes, a vile person is despised, but those who fear the Lord will honor them. That those who swear to his hurt, they will not change. Where he puts out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. So David knew that we cannot love good unless we also oppose evil. Then in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 has said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yet this righteous man also honors those who fear the Lord. He makes his judgments about men on a godly basis, not from favoritism, flattery, or even corruption. So this is actually telling us about the character of those whom are not able to dwell in the holy hill or even sojourn in the tent, where finally in verse 5, they will receive this blessing if they were not to do all these things. So David at that time, he knew that one who pleased God in this way will be able to receive blessing from God. They shall never be moved. Where the righteous one in this world, at the end, they shall be able to live in stability. And now we shall reserve some time for our prayer. And in our prayer, we ask our Lord God to continue to guide and lead each one of us. Let's all kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Or Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our family altar shall end here. All glory be given to our Lord God.